Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. This week I started, and I told you I would continue today to answer the question, well, how do we actually begin to live out this new life, this new creation? If we're called to be new, to live new, to look new, act new, how do we actually do that? Because it is something that I've heard many times and I've wrestled with myself. I'm like, if I'm truly the saved person I say I am, then shouldn't there be something different about me? Shouldn't there be something that stands out? Shouldn't these issues that I'm dealing with be easier to deal with? And because they're not, a lot of times we either give up on God or we really confuse what this Christianity is supposed to look like in the first place. Last week we answered by saying, well, the first step is to put Christ first, to center our lives around Christ. And that is a very Christian statement. You know, some of you guys, maybe you grew up in church, like I've heard people say all my life, where you put God first, put Christ in the center of your lives, and then everything else revolves around it, everything else goes smooth. So when things don't go smooth, we say, well, that didn't work, and we give up, and we avoid church, or we just go every now and then to appease the checklist, because we don't understand what it means to actually live a Christ-centered life. It is something we've all struggled with, and it is sometimes a bumpy road, this road to trying to be this new creation, to live out that Christian life, that title that we now have. We say, okay, yeah, I put God first. I kind of check with Him before I make my move. Many of us Christians do that. We say, God, this is my plan. You cool with it, right? We get, okay, you know, kind of like your parents signing off on the permission slip. You're like, God, I'm going on a trip. I'm not going to tell you where, you know, but can you just sign, say you're cool with it? That's how we treat and say that's putting God first. I told Him about it. I told God the career I wanted. I told God the person I wanted to marry. I told God where I was going to move to. I told God how many kids I was going to have. I told God, and then we fill in the blanks. And you say, well, because I told Him, I put God first. No, really, you say, God, you know my ideas. You jump on the bandwagon, and I'll show you the way. That's not putting God first, and that's never actually living out as a new creation. If we are living as new, then it's not going to be, hey, God, what do you think about this? It's going to be, God, what is my next step? God, what should I say next? God, where should I go next? Everything is fervently seeking for the answer to that. That's putting God in the focus, putting God in the center, having a new focal point for any and every decision that we make. And yes, as Christians, sometimes we just breeze through life and we do fail to focus on God. You know, I've been guilty of it, where I would say, God, this is my path, this is my plan. Many of you have heard my testimony, and it goes down to that, where I was telling God, look, I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm not going to be a church planter. Those guys are crazy. I'm not going to move back to Edenton because I've been there my whole life. I think I'm going to Raleigh. I think I'm going to school there. I think I'm going to do this. See, I was saying I was putting God first, but really God was like, well, let's see what happens. And closed door after closed door after closed door, I finally said, okay, God, where do you want me? And after getting my four strikes out of everything I told God I wasn't going to do, that He was like, psych, let's see what else happens. I finally got the hint. Okay, I wasn't putting you first. I wasn't living a Christ-centered life. And many of us are guilty of that. It's easy to do. It's difficult to stay on that focal point, keeping God as that central point. But that is that first step of living out as that new creation. And so our next step into living this out, to being the new creations we're called to be the new people that we're called to be, we have to, as Scripture says, renovate our minds. If we can renovate our lives by renovating our thinking. And I know some of you are like, I got a lot of work to do because you don't know what's up in this head, AJ. Well, I don't want to know, but we can still renovate, okay? We'll still look at what Scripture is talking about here. One guy, Ravi Zacharias, he calls the mind the command control center of a human being. And then you've probably heard the old poem that says, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. And then you sow a lifestyle, reap a destiny. It all begins with the mind, the way that we think, the way that we perceive things, the way that we automatically jump to maybe a conclusion or jump to an idea or maybe jump to that one word that we know we shouldn't say out loud, but it's jumping right there anyway. You know, it's those thoughts that, yes, we say, well, I didn't say it. Well, it's still there. It's still a need for renovating that change. You know, because, again, as Christians, we say, well, as long as I didn't tell them how ugly they were, I wasn't being mean. Well, let's work on renovating the thinking so you're not tempted to tell them how hideous that dress is or whatever. You know, that's on the low end of our renovations that need to take place. But ultimately, as Christians, our lives are determined to a large degree by how we think. And you know, think about what's on your mind day in and day out. And then look at how those thoughts have modeled the way that you treat others, models the way that you look at the world around you, models the way that you look at your job. It models how you behave in the world that we live in. So with that being said, thinking in a godly manner will affect our lives, either good or negatively. You know, if we're thinking godly thoughts, thinking of Scripture, thinking of how I can pursue God in a better manner, then our patterns will continue to change towards that godly thinking. Whereas if our mind is constantly on a negative end, constantly thinking towards my selfish thoughts, then yes, my life is going to be patterned after that selfish nature. And it will eventually destroy, in a sense, who we are, or what we want to be, or be perceived as. Our thinking is eventually going to be known to others. And they're going to say, well, obviously, that's truly where their minds are. They say they love others. They say they care about others. But really, their life is patterned in a completely different manner. But the passage that we've looked at, focusing on verse 23 in Ephesians, and then Romans 12, especially verse 2, they show us this need. They give us a very clear understanding that, look, if we're going to be these new creations, if we're going to be, as Romans says, living sacrifices, then we have to renew our minds. And this word picture here is really a sense of renovation. And I'll get to shortly. You know, you're already waiting. You're like, well, he's in construction. He's a carpenter. He's going to talk about renovating a house. Well, actually, I will in a little while, okay? Don't jump the gun on me. We're going to get to that later. But I know already some of you are like, I've got them figured out. And if you do, then good luck with that. But with any renovation, again, we know what it looks like when we think of the term renovation. But what does it mean if we're talking about renovating our minds? Well, let's look at these two passages. Ephesians 4:23 says, you are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. And then Romans says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, Paul here in this passage, he uses the term in some translations by the mercies of God, and the one that I chose, and some of yours, it may say something a little bit different. But what he's talking about, saying, look back basically at the previous 11 chapters, Romans 1 through 11. He says, I've really been hammering how good our God is. I've also hammered how poor of a decision we've made as human beings, how off track we've come. That's why in that section we have what is called the Roman road, the way to salvation. And in that way to salvation is a lot of grace, a lot of love, a lot of mercy for our God. It says, even while you were enemies, even while you were sinning, even while you were doing all these things, you know, Paul's laying it out there. He's like, look, I'm with you, and this is what we've done. This is what we're guilty of. This is what we now deserve. And he says, look, because of our sin, we've brought hell to ourselves. We are condemned to that because of our words, because of our actions. And now he says, but that Jesus Christ that I've been telling you about is a God of mercy, a God of grace. And because of that grace, because of him giving up his life for us, which we're celebrating in this time of Palm Sunday and Easter, Paul is saying that is a true sense of mercy, a true sense of grace. It says, even though you were an enemy of God, even though you had turned your back on God, God still came, still died for our sake, so that we can have new life, so that we can have hope, so that when anything that comes our way in this world, we can still actually have joy in the midst of everything. So he's saying, think about this. You know, all these, he didn't have chapters back then. He's saying, but you know what I just said? So now think of that. Those are the mercies of God. And therefore, because you've been given so much, because of God's grace, because of his mercy, now you also have been given a great responsibility. Because of what God has done, because of what he's given you, because of that grace, because of that mercy, now we have a responsibility to be living sacrifices. That's the term that Paul uses. And he says this happens when we are transformed by the renewal of our minds. He doesn't say, you know, be perceived as new. Make sure that people see you doing good deeds. He says, start with the renewal of your minds. Your life can actually be a sacrifice to God. It doesn't mean you literally have to give up everything, but it does mean there's going to be things that we have to give up if God is truly going to be our focal point. If we're going to be transformed, if we're going to be made new, if we're going to take on a new life, then there's going to be things from the old life that, yes, have to be, in lack of a better word, sacrificed to get rid of. And so by doing so, by giving over our new life to God, by saying, I want to be a new creation, God is saying, okay, now, because you've seen my mercy, because you've seen my grace, you have the responsibility to be that living sacrifice. That means letting go, quitting, forfeiting, and yes, even sacrificing the old patterns, habits, and ways of our old life in order to live as that new creation we are in Christ. So as believers, he's saying, look, you can no longer imitate those that are around you who aren't Christians, those who don't understand that mercy, who don't understand that responsibility that is given because of that mercy and grace. And because you have now become a new creation, you have taken on a title. You've taken on my name. So act like it. Look like it. Become new. Don't just, hey, I'm a Christian because I filled it out when I registered to vote, when I, you know, put in my school information, my job application. I said, yeah, of course I'm a Christian. He's not saying I don't want just some title. I want it to be proven by the fact that you are now a new creation, a new life. You have been changed, transformed by God. And we can be transformed. We can become that new creation by having our minds renewed, working to change the way we think, the way that we even approach the world around us. And the reason being is because the mind is really a key element to the Christian life. And because of that, our thinking has to be changed. It's changed from the old ungodly ways of thinking into new godly ways. Things that, yes, we may say, oh, that's just Christian worldview. Well, maybe that Christian worldview, as you call it, is actually now your worldview, the way that you need to perceive things. And I'm not saying the way you vote, the way that you approach certain things in our political world. I'm thinking more along the moral realm of things. If it doesn't fit Scripture and its agenda, its message, but yet it did fit your old ways, then maybe there needs to be a renewal, a new understanding, a new way of thinking, a renovation of our minds to now God's minds, to something that actually fits His agenda, fits what He is saying, fits His love, His mercy, His grace, and our responsibility because of. And so what we know as Christians, it does form a conviction. What we hold true, it does lead to conviction in our hearts. That conviction translates into action. That's why we have to be renewed. Because if our convictions are still the old way, then again, our actions aren't going to change. But if our convictions are changed because our mind has been changed, because our morality has been changed, our understanding of the world around us, understanding of you, of other people, then look, I've got a new conviction. That's not a bad thing. That is a good thing when God is able to change that conviction, change the way that you look at others, the way that you look at the world. And yes, sometimes the way that you look at politics, it does then transform and translate into new actions, new life. That new action becomes an element of the new creation that we are. And therefore, we have to renew our minds, because doing so, we can begin to live like the new creations we are. And by renewing our minds, last week's step that you said is still too hard, still something I'm struggling with, it actually becomes easier to put God in the focal point when our minds have been transformed to His word, to His understanding, to His understanding of the world around us and those around us. Then putting Christ as that focal point, again, becomes a automatic function that we have as a believer in Christ. But again, I know some of you are still saying, it's just, this idea, putting Christ in the center, making a change, a renovation, a renewal of our minds, is something we struggle with. It's something that we just don't think we're capable of. Again, because many are saying, look, you don't know what I've seen. You don't know what I've said. You don't know what's in this head. You don't know how often it's in the gutter. You don't know how often it wants to say the wrong word. I do good enough to not say it, and therefore I feel like I'm doing good enough. Look, I've told myself that too, because I've never understood in many cases, you know, when I was younger, what it meant to renew my life. I said, okay, I want to be a living sacrifice. And then God's like, okay, let's renew the mind. It's like, oh, we'll get to that later. I'm just going to renew the action, what people see. As long as they see that I'm not saying those things, I'm not calling somebody that name, I'm not thinking that thought, then I'm still good enough as long as what is perceived. But what Paul is saying, look, if you truly want to be that new creation, if you truly want to follow Christ, putting him at the center, we have to gain control. We have to actually guard our hearts and guard our minds. And that's what Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The heart, the mind, the spirit, the way that we look at people, things, and the way that we, yes, even think. And so that's why we have to renew our thinking, renovate our thinking. Because it was once said, I didn't know, have the exact quote, but I've heard it and I'm not going to take credit for it. But it was once said that every sin we commit twice. One in our thoughts, and once again, when we act upon those thoughts. But because we don't understand this whole idea of renovating our minds, we say, well, I stopped at the thought, God, that's good enough. Well, that is a step. That is, okay, we're working on that. But if we go our entire life by this thinking that says, well, I kept it in the head, therefore I'm okay. I told myself that before. I'm like, well, I left it up here. I didn't actually tell them what they looked like. Then I'm okay. I didn't actually say the word that I wanted to say, even though I wanted to some kind of bad. Well, I wasn't renovating my thinking. I was renovating the way I expressed myself sometimes, because I used to cuss like a sailor. I was a young sailor, but I cussed one good. And I thought, well, as long as I just don't express them all the time, you know, then I'm becoming this new creation. Well, God had to remind me, look, it's also the way that you think. It's a renovation of our minds. Yes, we have to renovate what we actually allow to spill out. Some of us more so than others, but we have to work on that. But we also, the next step is, okay, we've got the outward approach. Now, let's renovate your thinking. Let's get a new perspective. Let's get a new thought pattern to work here so that you can become that new creation that God has called you to be. Because it is easier to get rid of sin in our lives if we attack it at this fundamental level rather than just waiting for it to become rooted, because that is where a lot of us are. We have so deeply rooted in our thinking, in the way that we perceive others in the world around us and actions and morality, is so rooted that now we're like, that's just who I am. Well, as new creations in Christ, how about we start thinking, that may be the way my old nature is, but because I'm now in Christ, let me start thinking as he's called me. Let me now renovate to get a new understanding what my thinking should look like as a Christian. And yes, this is difficult. And I know that. I'm not just preaching saying, good luck, you know, renovating your thinking. Any renovation is difficult, but especially renovating our minds. But we have to. It is an essential step. If we're saying, well, I want to put God first. I want to be new. I want him in the central focus. But we have to, as Paul told us both in Ephesians and in Romans, we have to start by renovating our thinking. And truly, the only way to replace the old way of thinking is to replace it with God's truth, his Bible, Scripture, his words that he's given us. We replace our thinking with his words. That is why if you look at when Jesus was tempted, he didn't just say, oh, well, that's not what I'm supposed to do. No, he threw God's word back at Satan. Everything that Satan threw at him, Jesus threw out Scripture. And he was able to do so because he digested Scripture. He inhaled Scripture. He understood Scripture. He made it a part of who he was, made it a part of his thinking. When something would come up, Scripture that referred to that would come up because he knew it. It was a part of who he was. It was a part of his thinking. And I know there's videos. There's a pastor out there, John Christ. I don't know if you follow him, but he's done the lady that always has a Bible verse with every situation. It's funny and joking then, but really, reality, that's how we should look. You know, his is, she's in the grocery store and she sees a sale and she says, you know, the fount of many blessings flow, you know, kind of in a joking way. But the mindset that Scripture has to be a part of everything we do, then part of this renovation, that part is true, even though everything else he's in a, you know, silly manner. But see, this transformation of our minds comes when we expose ourselves to God's Word. We do that on Sunday mornings, but if all we're doing is exposing ourselves to God's Word on Sunday mornings, then again, there's never going to be a renovation. There's going to be a few repairs here and there, but there's never going to be full renovation. We have to get it on Sundays. We have to get it in our personal time. We have to get it in group, I would say, getting a part of some kind of Bible study, making that Bible study a personal element in our lives so that it can become a part of who we are. It can begin to renew our minds because it's not some magic formula. There's not just a certain way of wording that, well, now my mind has been renovated. No, it is a step-by-step process of taking in God's Word and allowing His words to change our thinking. But again, many of us Christians, what we do, instead of replacing it with God's Word, we live our lives as Christians based on feelings or concerned only about doing. You know, a life based on feelings says, well, how do I feel today? Well, how I feel determines how I'm going to treat others. Well, how do I feel about my job? Well, my job is horrible. Therefore, anybody I come in contact with, including my boss, especially my boss, they're going to catch it today. Well, how do I feel about my wife? Well, you know what? Things have been lacking, so maybe I should find a new one because you're based on feeling instead of a connection. How do I feel about worship? How do I feel about the pastor? Well, you know, I didn't really like that song. I didn't, you know, they were kind of off cue. The preacher thinks he's funny, but he's not. He's horrible. So because I feel that way, I'll find another church, or I'll just say, I do church on my own, the Great Blue Sky Tabernacle, as I've heard some of my friends refer to their church because they stay outside, which you can do church outside, but church together is not what he's talking about. He's talking about my time, my energy, because that's how I feel. That's Christianity, is based on how I feel. And if I feel good on Sunday morning, if I wake up in time, then church is cool. It easily fits in my schedule. Christianity should not be based on feelings alone, because that's not what is renewing the mind. That is nothing geared towards renewing the mind. But it's also not just on doing. You know, the life of doing says, don't give me your theology. Just tell me what to do. Give me the 4 points. Give me the 7 keys to success. And then I'll go do my part. I'll get my checklist done. But this, again, is good when we do things, but it's ignoring renewal of our minds. See, God is not against the principle of either feeling or doing. He is a passionate, emotional God. And he calls us to be doers. But both of these by themselves completely ignore. They are completely insufficient as far as a foundation for our Christian life. It is not taking into effect the fact that we have to be renewed. We have to be made new. If it's just, well, this is how I feel or this is what I should do, then there's no renovation. There's no change. There's no renewal of our minds. It's just a, well, that's what I'm going to do because I feel like it, or this is what I'm going to do because that's going to get me to heaven. That's not what the Christian life is about. And so the first question cannot be, how do I feel today in regards to church, in regards to worshiping, in regards to my pastor, or even what should I do to get it off the checklist as a Christian? Rather, we have to now, in our renovated minds, say, what is true? What does God's Word say? What is there in His Word, in His Scripture, the letter He left for me? What does that say, and how can I renovate my actions based on that? Renovate my thinking based on that. This spiritual change through renewal in your mind brings this, again, a true sense of renovation. So now I'm getting to the house. You're like, finally, we're getting to the house. Well, again, think about when you actually renovate a house. This is what Paul is talking about. He's not talking about some of the things we do. I'm talking about a true renovation. Because you can make repairs to a house, but it's not renovating. That's why Paul isn't talking about repairing your minds, making a cover-up, ugly defect. You know, it's gonna be invisible to others, but it's still there. You know, just a cosmetic kind of, you know, paint, carpet, the obvious things. We can make repairs to a house, but it's not a renovation. It may increase the value a little bit, and it make you feel better about it. But you know, even though you put carpet on rotted joists, those joists are still rotten because you didn't renovate. The issues are still there. The underlying cause of the leak is still there. I painted over the mold so nobody knows that they're actually breathing in, you know, dangerous, you know, mold into their lives. They're still going to come eat dinner with me and not knowing that there's asbestos behind the walls that is going to kill them one day, but it's repaired, so therefore it's good enough. That's how we treat this. We say, well, I've repaired some things, God. I made it so that nobody knows that the underlying cause is still there. That's why Paulus didn't say repair your minds, because that's not what it's about. And the same is true when it comes to restoring. Paul is not talking about restoring our minds to its original condition. Edenton, gotta love them, but they're all about restoring. It's like, don't gut houses, restore them back to their historic condition, back to, you know, what it was supposed to look like. Is what it's supposed to look like. I can show you what it's supposed to look like, but you won't let me because the historic commission says I'm not allowed to, you know, because of whatever. That's why we just stick to new construction. They're aggravating. But that's, again, restoring a house is saying, well, what was there was perfect. What is underlying is already at its greatest level it's ever going to be. That way you just restore it back to that. That way everybody's happy. Everything looks good. You know, we can find the old windows, the old glass that you can't even see through because it's so crazy and old. You know, the old original woodwork, you know, cut down from a cypress tree that was, you know, planted in 1694, whatever it has to be. You know, we can get it back to its original condition. And yes, that is cool. That looks good. And yes, I love that Edenton has done that in some of its homes. But again, that's not what Paul is talking about, because that is saying, well, what was already there was perfect. So just get back to the old you. No, Paul is saying, look, the old you is what got you in this mess to begin with. So let's not talk about just restoring. Let's talk about a complete renovation. This isn't about cosmetic repairs. It's not about restoring to the good old you, who you used to be, how people used to remember you. Because if some of us did that, again, I would be cussing at you guys right now, and that wouldn't be good. So I don't want to be restored back to my old self, because you would say, that's not a preacher. You know, we got to work on this guy. So it's a complete renovation. It's taking a house, completely gutting it. You know, take out the walls, the flooring, take out the old insulation that I don't know how it insulated a house to begin with. Take out the electrical wires that you don't know how it didn't burn the house down already. Take out the plumbing that's been leaking since 1776. Take out the cabinets that the doors have never shut to begin with. You know, do a complete and total renovation. That is what Paul's talking about. So when you think about, again, repairing or restoring a house, you know, we sometimes call that renovation, but that's not what it is. That is just, again, making some cosmetic repairs. That's sometimes, you know, restoring it to its old condition. Paul is saying, think of it as a complete overhaul, a complete renovation. That is what being transformed by the renewal of our mind really is, because it is opposite of conforming to this world. Making repairs conforms to this world because it says, well, I can still be the old me as long as I cover up some of my issues so people in church don't see it. Conforming to the world says, well, I just go back to the old me, how all my old friends used to like me in college. You know, of course, maybe they'll accept me now, even though I'm far from college, even though I'm far from the old me. If I restore that, I conform back in, fit back in, and make myself and everyone else happy. That's not what Paul is talking about. It is a complete overhaul. And that's why the battleground between conforming to this world and being transformed is within the mind of the believer. You and I, as Christians, we have to think differently. And if you say, look, I became a Christian and my thinking's never changed, I've tried to put God first and I found it so difficult, then you know what I'll say? Say like Paul says, become the living sacrifice by renovating your minds, becoming that new creation by working on the way that we think, the way that we perceive people in the world around us. And we do so by digesting, by actually taking God's word. It's right there for us. If you don't have it, you know, in physical form. You've got it on your phone. You've got it on the internet. If you don't have a phone for whatever reason in today's world, believe me, we can find you a Bible. And God is saying that is how you renew your mind, by taking in His words, taking in His truth, taking in His lessons. Yes, some of those lessons are going to be hard to digest, because they're going to say, here's where you're wrong. Here's what needs to be changed. Here's what needs to be renovated. Here's what needs to be gutted out. Renovation hurts, especially in our spiritual lives. But when we get on the other end of things, just like a new house that's been completely overhauled, people are going to say, this looks nothing like the old house. This looks nothing like the old you. There's a complete overhaul of who I once viewed you as and who you are now. You have been renovated. You weren't repaired. You weren't restored. You are completely new, because we've allowed ourselves to be changed and transformed by His word. And so with that said, where do you now today know? You've been thinking, you've been praying, you've been trying. But where do you need to be renovated? What is it that's found yourself stuck in? You know, have you ever felt like, you know, I've been waiting on a moment to start, waiting on a time to get back on track. I've been waiting for a time to have that complete overhaul, but I just keep putting it off for whatever reason. You know, where is it that you have been holding back? What have you been failing to completely renovate? And you know where those issues are. You know what that change in mind needs to be. And as I say, there's no greater time than the present to take care of what God has been dealing with for maybe a week, maybe a month. Maybe He's been trying to deal with it in your life for years. But you didn't want to let it go. You didn't want to renovate. You wanted to tell God, well, we're going to repair it. I want to restore it, God. And God keeps saying, no, we have to renovate. It has to be an overhaul. So why don't you let God renovate that in your life today? As I always say, a couple of us will be at the doors, an elder will be at the back, and I'll be at the side door. Talk to us. Pray. We won't pray here. We'll go somewhere private. You know, it doesn't have to be out here in front of everybody. But it does have to be between you and God to begin that renovation, that overhaul, that new creation you're called to be in Him. Let's pray. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or have been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.